coming home via Chicago.
Hi, I'm Michael Moynihan for Reason TV, and today we are talking to Terry Michael, the head of the Washington Center for Politics and Journalism, the boss, the grand poobah, the czar, right? Former press secretary for Paul Simon. And we are also with Mike Flynn, the director of government affairs at the Reason Foundation and also an old hand in Chicago politics who worked for the, don't furrow your
brow. I'm just trying to think of the statute of limitations.
Yeah, okay. It was a long time ago you worked for the Republicans. In the state legislature.
There actually was a Republican Party at the time
there
I worked there.
The
and there so was one when I left, so I can't vouch for what happened afterwards.
And I got my start working for the Democrats in the legislature in 1973.
And we have two experts on Chicago politics, and obviously there is a reason to discuss Chicago politics again outside of Barack Obama. What is going on, gentlemen, with Governor...
Blagstilovich.
Blagstilovich, Peter Bogdanovich, Blagojevich, whatever. What's going on right now in Chicago?
You know, I have to say that I am not sure that this governor is really an example of Illinois corruption. I think there's some mental illness going on there.
Yes.
I think it's a sociopath. But he certainly comes out of the culture of corruption that has been statewide, not just in Chicago. You have the Metro East St. Louis area, Madison County, corruption. You have deep southern Illinois.
Little Cairo,
where the Secretary of State in the late 1960s, Paul Powell, when he died, they found $800,000 stuffed in shoeboxes in his hotel room. You have Springfield, the state legislature, which was corrupt. My ex-boss, Paul Simon, blew the whistle on that in a Harper's Magazine article in 1963, corruption in the Illinois legislature. So you've got it everywhere. Chicago, Springfield, the legislature, the Metro East area.
Let's go back to 1963. I mean, this is something that runs very, very deep in Chicago politics and doesn't seem to have abated at all in the past 40 years.
It really did abate because it was a lot of it was driven by patronage, and civil service sort of got rid of some of that. And that's why the Secretary of State position has always been the favored position the corrupt George Ryan. He was Secretary of State.
You have all the jobs when you're Secretary of State. The
all
governor
the jobs.
That can't do as much patronage as they used to do.
George Ryan, who is in prison right now.
He's in prison right now. We should note that since Adlai Stevenson was elected on a reform ticket in 1948, all the Democratic governors elected since then have gone to jail, and now we're about to see a third one probably go to jail. Mm-hmm. That would be Otto Kerner, Dan Walker, and now Governor Blagstilovich.
And I do want to say, I mean, I think a couple things have actually changed in the time. And one is the corruption is a lot less petty than it used to be. You know, before it was, you gave out a job as a sewer inspector, you maybe had a no-bid contract. Now you're
so
talking...
So now it's just on a grander
now
scale.
Now it's real money.
You
know, you look, even things like the bond offerings of the state is incredibly corrupt. And you'll find sons and daughters of legislators who work for the bond agencies in Chicago who suddenly get the business to issue the bonds for the state. You've got things like the advent of state-controlled gaming licenses where in the late 80s, early 90s, some investors, among Republicans too, could put up $10,000 to get a license that's now worth $40 million.
Yeah.
The dollar amounts have gotten much bigger. So the scale of it has gotten much bigger.
So when you were working for Republicans way back in the day, there was no big ticket $1 million items out there. You're saying there's
They were just starting to be. But it used to be like when I was there, and again, I'm trying to think statute of limitations. I mean, one of the big things that you always had in the legislature every year was what was called the pension bill. And it was a great, a big bipartisan, everybody wink and nod, this bill will go through.
Yeah.
And the bill is stuffed with specific provisions for individuals. And it was written in a way that would never look like it was for individuals. But basically, it was letting Mo on the northwest side have an extra 5 years in his pension. And that would be a bill that would go through. What I saw when I was there is that people always think of Chicago machine, Democrat politics in Illinois being corrupt. It's fully a bipartisan industry at this point. And you have the top of the Republican Party, whom I can't name, you know, is just as deep into the corruption
Is there something particular to Chicago about this? I mean, we hear this is the constant media refrain now is that, well, you know, what do you expect? This is Chicago, and we've known about this for ages. Is this something that you find in other large cities throughout America, or is there something particular to Chicago?
It's really all about one-party politics. Whenever you have a one-party political system, like we're sitting in one right now in the District of Columbia, where there's nobody to keep an eye on the other guys, there's not a viable second party. Therefore, people get away with murder. And that's exactly what happened in Chicago. It was a one-party jurisdiction. They controlled everything. There was no Republican Party to... And, you know, the press did a watchdog role. But you got to have another party to keep an eye on the other guys.
And you also had a really well-oiled machine that still exists that was not blown apart by racial politics, gender politics, things that blew apart the machines in other urban areas. The machine stayed in Chicago. I mean, you've got the dailies running the town for several decades. The thing that marked about Chicago, unlike, say, an urban area like Baltimore or New York, is by many measures Chicago works.
Yeah.
It's a functioning city. And so the citizens in Chicago feel okay turning a blind eye to a lot of the petty corruption because the city works, because trash is picked up, because the streets are plowed in the winter. Where in a lot of urban areas, you don't have that dynamic.
So basically what we have right now is we have a story that is of national interest because of the scale of corruption, but clearly there's another element here. And the other element is that Barack Obama's from Chicago, and you have a number of Republicans foaming at the mouth trying to tie Barack Obama to this scandal. Is that going to happen? Is there any indication right now that this will have a negative effect on Barack Obama or even Rahm Emanuel?
I don't think so, and this is the point I want to make, that politics, like life, is about physics. Every action has an equal and opposite reaction. The reaction in Illinois to all that corruption was a really healthy reform movement. In fact, Paul Simon helped lead that in the early 50s into the 60s. There's almost a meme stream that goes from Simon in that reform movement to Barack Obama's brain, and I'll tell you how. Dick Durbin was Paul Simon's administrative assistant when he was lieutenant governor, 69 to 72. Durbin kind of talked Obama into running for president. David Axelrod, a reporter, as was I, growing up, knowing about Paul Simon, this Mr. Clean, this independent, he was he's an Obama advisor. I laughed when I saw the Republicans during this past campaign trying to tie Obama to the Daily Machine. He's from the completely different tradition. He's from the progressive tradition, from the reform tradition in Illinois politics that reacted to the corruption in Illinois politics. Now, let me say there that certainly when you're in a situation like that, the reformers have to work to some degree with the machine types if they want to get anything done because they control the seats in the legislature. But Obama comes out of that tradition. Yes, I'm really amused by the Jesse Jackson angle on this.
We have a limited amount of time, so let's finish on the question about Jesse Jackson Jr., who was candidate number five, contestant number five, revealed and gave a sort of mealy-mouthed press conference the other day. What's going to happen to Jesse Jackson Jr.?
You know, I spent 17 years as a political communicator. Either he got the worst advice that anyone's ever gotten, holding a press conference in which almost Shakespearean protesteth too much, way too much.
Yeah.
You know, you got to wonder what's going on there. I don't know. Nobody knows.
Well, his father's been bulletproof for
him. And
how
he's
many
also
years?
Not part of the Daily Machine.
Okay.
And so it'll be interesting to
explain
see.
That a little bit. He's in sort of an independent actor. In
and the real issue that drives it right now has to do with airports. Because Jesse Jackson is a big proponent of building a third regional airport in Piatone, Illinois. But that would remove all the contracts in O'Hare that are controlled by the city and Mayor Daley. So he is definitely out of the Daley machine. So I expect him to be thrown under the bus. And real quick, I just want to end. There's one funny story about Glebojevich that I think is apocryphal for what happened this week. There's a friend of mine reminded me of it, that he saw him in Springfield not too long ago. And Glebojevich liked to brag quite often when he was in Springfield about when he lived in D.C., jogging through the streets, he once ran into Richard Nixon. And he was so proud of that. And so I think of him being arraigned before the judge in a jogging suit, being undone by tape conversations. I think, you know, he was foreshadowing what was going to happen to him later on.
All right, so we have determined today that Governor Blagojevich is royally screwed. Jesse Jackson will be thrown under the bus. And Barack Obama is going to come out unscathed.
I think so.
All right. Well, thank you guys very much for coming down to talk to us. Mike Flynn of the Reason Foundation, Terry Michael, libertarian Democrat extraordinaire who often publishes on the Reason.com website. Yeah. I'm Michael Moynihan for Reason TV, and thanks for watching. He is Chicago.